We have a Thanksgiving Day hangover here and three disappointing games to talk about, but come join us here on the NFC East Reactions and Update show on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I hate this music this season.
Guys, this is the Thanksgiving Week 12 edition of the NFC East Reactions and Update show on AfterBuzz TV. We've got a full panel in the house.
Whoa.
All of us are here to talk about the losses or the wins, kind of wins. All the games are a little iffy this week around the NFL, but
I'm happy.
Yeah, Steve has every reason to be happy this entire season. But to kick it off, my name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier, and our sad Giants fan today for several reasons.
Oh my God.
How you doing?
I'm not doing good. It's the end of an era. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_, and we can form a circle, powwow, and cry the end of the Eli Manning era. It's over, guys. I'm sure you guys don't care. I'm around people who don't care right now.
I was shocked.
I wanted sympathy from everybody. You guys are just like, yeah.
No. Because there's no like breaking news anymore. Now I've known for four hours.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the breakdown. I'm waiting for its place on the breakdown to explain.
Which starting with D'Angelo's name.
Yes, you guys can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram. I'm D'Angelo. Hit me up on Twitter, D'Angelo TV, or Instagram at D'Angelo.
And I'm Steve Kauf. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kauf. That is K-A-U-F. M-A-N-N.
It's a thing. No, it's a pause.
It's a thing I do.
A phonetic thing.
So that's not a Thanksgiving
thing. It's an Obama pause. My fellow Americans.
Well, we are going to get into the Giants-Redskins game, so let's just hop right into them. The breaking news of today, a few hours ago. The Giants are now benching Eli this Sunday and will instead start Geno Smith.
Why?
Well, that's the question mark.
Well,
Why'd you know?
Well, here's the real question. McAdoo said he sees Geno Smith being the way he can win this Sunday. You're wrong. He's Eli Manning. B, why do you even want to win at this point?
Exactly.
Other than to save his job, which, his job's gone. That's a foregone conclusion.
And also with a quarterback, you've seen what this quarterback can do. You've seen what Geno Smith can do in the NFL.
New York has seen what Geno Smith can do.
Exact same location.
The same stadium. Yeah, it's what he can't do.
Yeah, perfectly put. Yeah. Exactly.
I listen, as a Giants fan, this is a depressing day. I mean, Eli's been our quarterback for a really long time, over a decade. Won two Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP. I think he gets a lot of flack. He's an interesting quarterback to kind of diagnose, because we want to put everyone in a box, you know, like Hall of Famer, very good. And with Eli, it's just weird because you can't do that. You know, he sometimes looks like a top five quarterback in the league, and then there's other times he literally looks like the worst quarterback on the face of this earth. So he's a weird quarterback to put into a box, but at the same time, the Giants did win two Super Bowls with him. They did have successful seasons with him. I'm going to miss him. It's just sad.
MVPs.
Like, you knew it was coming. You knew the day was coming. But as a Giants fan, it's kind of disappointing to see Geno Smith out there. No offense to Geno Smith. We know what he is already. Let's get Davis Webb in there. We just drafted him. Why not see what we got with him?
Davis Webb is coming in. Don't worry about that.
I know.
Let's not act like Geno Smith is going to play the rest of the season.
Why that decision?
Yeah.
Like, why Geno Smith?
Maybe the only angle
Sunday?
I can think is, like, maybe Davis
Webb. Transitioning slowly?
Yeah, I don't know. I actually have no angle. It doesn't make sense.
Talked to Ben McAdoo? Who has the inside scoop here?
No one here. I don't think anyone here has the inside scoop. I'm just, to the best I can think in this regard, like, maybe he sees an opening that Geno Smith can win this game. And that maybe...
Who do the Giants have now?
I'm at a point where I don't even care. The Raiders. They play the Raiders!
Yeah, like, maybe McAdoo sees something we don't in Geno Smith in this matchup with the Raiders this weekend, that maybe he can string together one win, then bring the next guy in and string together another win, and maybe keep his job.
And what?
Something?
Let's finish 5-11. Who cares? Who cares? You have a quarterback in Davis Webb who you drafted for the future. I mean, basically, Davis Webb was drafted because you knew Eli Manning was getting old. Let's see what you have in Davis Webb. At this point, we're going to get a top three pick. That could be Josh Rosen. That could be Sam Darnold. We don't know who it could be, but we might be drafting a quarterback. Yeah. Let's not A, mess it up, and B, let's see if Davis Webb is legitimate so that we don't have to draft a quarterback. Yeah. Let's see what we have.
Do you think 5 5 games with Davis Webb starting would prove if he should then continue to be the starter,
no,
or if
you
should still draft somebody.
You'll get a feel for who he is. Like if he's reading defense as well, then you know, you're like, okay, maybe we have something here. If he's just incredibly inaccurate, then like, all right, maybe he's just not the quarterback. Like, there are certain things you can tell. I mean, he's a rookie. Second year, right? Or is he? No, he's a rookie.
No, he's a rookie. Yeah,
he's a rookie. He's a rookie, so you can't expect too much out of him. Like last year, Jared Goff struggled and things like that. And who knows what he's going to look like in McAdoo's system? Because Eli looks terrible. I mean, he doesn't have. Offensive line's terrible. They don't have weapons right now, so I don't know. But you drafted this guy for a reason, and you have to see what you have right now because they're going to have a top 3 pick, and it makes no sense not taking a quarterback right now if you're going to get rid of Eli Manning.
To the Giants' defense, though, if there's one thing that Geno can do that Eli can't, is he's slightly more mobile.
Yes, that's true.
And you have no O-line.
And less fragile.
Yeah.
But like,
so that's the only thing I can think, okay, maybe they just need a guy who can move
around a
little
bit. But Davis is a little, he can move a little bit.
And, and if we're judging mobility out of 100, Eli's a 10, yes. And Geno Smith's
it's not,
like
it's a comparison
30.
Of
yeah, like
comparing
it's,
nothing.
Well, Geno's three times faster. He's 3 times more mobile than Eli Manning. Manning is a pocket passer.
Right.
But Geno took a few snaps this year for the Giants, didn't he? I mean, we didn't see anything. No. Oh, maybe like
maybe
2. No, he did.
He played.
But I think it was like
the fourth quarter.
Probably 1 or 2
against the Rams. He played. No, but you're right. I mean, Eli's a sloth, and basically 3 times faster than a sloth is really not that fast.
But Geno is pretty mobile.
We know what we have in Geno. It makes no sense.
Yeah. I will say though, like with the game, I was pretty low on my team, especially after the Saints loss.
Yeah,
but when I saw you guys, I was like, man, they're really bad.
The offense is awful.
I was like, we should not have won that game. It was
horrific.
I was like, wow, this really puts it in perspective for me.
I mean, both NFC East games, the NFC East was all over Thanksgiving and just they were so sad and not entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Like, so
no, it was
like,
really bad.
This was the first game the Redskins have hosted on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And the first time you guys have met this entire season. And this is NFC's division. Tensions are high and still fell extremely flat.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. It was a better game than the Cowboy-Charger game. But
yeah.
That was
well, it depends
bad.
Which side you're on of that. If you're a Chargers fan, that was a great game for you. Your team showed up.
Word.
Like, I'm an Eagles fan, so I should enjoy every Cowboys beating, but even that one got hard to watch.
I felt bad a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get to that heartbreak in a bit. Let's stay on the Giants Redskins. So more dive deeper into your thoughts watching this.
It's just the offense is pathetic. Mm-hmm. It's pathetic. They don't run at any. Every route is like a 5. Like the guy on the outside does like a 5-yard out. There's a slant. Mm-hmm. In the middle. Like they don't take any chances. They can't take any chances because the line can't hold up. Eli's not mobile, so if he has any pressure on him whatsoever, he can't do anything. It's just a horrible, pathetic offense. It looks like the worst offense I've ever seen from the Giants, and I'm not exaggerating at all.
Bad.
And a lot of it has to do with Odell's gone, Brandon Marshall's gone. They're missing their top 4 wide receivers. Sterling Shepard didn't play. They did a good job keeping Ingram in check because that's the only weapon that they have. There's no run game. It's just the Giants are just bad. Like there's no we can talk about it all day. Like reasons why they're just a really bad football team right now. And the defense is okay. They're not as good as they were last year. It's just they're bad. And the Redskins, honestly, I wasn't impressed with the Redskins at all.
We're equally as injured, but we didn't lose our Odell. I guess we did because we
lost
Jordan
your
Reed.
Entire offensive
We're slightly. Well, I say 2 tiers, but above the Giants, but the same type of struggles with injuries and stuff like
you
that.
You guys had 14 on injury reserve, and you guys
they
put
have 15.
Yeah.
So it was a body bag game.
But the whole game I was watching, you can tell the Redskins were way better than the Giants. Just the Redskins for whatever reason couldn't get their act together during the game, and then they did finally at the end because they're the better team. But
it's Eli Geno Smith mobility comparison though. It's like the Giants are really, really bad and we're like average, so we look better but not too late. So it's just I don't know, like as a Skins fan, that Saints loss was kind of like, oh, okay, you guys told me how to feel about the rest of the season.
So how do you feel about the rest?
Not to have high expectations?
Not expecting anything?
Well, I don't know, we have a tremendously easy schedule, so I wouldn't be shocked to see them.
You guys could honestly still make the playoffs.
The thing about it is they have to go 10-6
really
to make
could.
The
I
make
think
the
Redskins
we have to win the rest of our games, and I just think that level of perfection, even if it's bad teams, is unrealistic to expect.
You guys have some unlucky losses. Like, sure, a loss is a loss. I hate to say it that way. Like, we should have won that game. Then you should have actually won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you still show up, and you guys have so much energy every single game. Like, I feel like the Cowboys, the last 3 games, have completely deflated in that sense.
Yeah.
Where I am expecting them to lose from now on.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that subject, but at the same time, I feel like the Redskins are always still there.
Effort is always
there. Like, they're still fighting. Yeah, they effort's really there, are.
Which is good. And then they played the most difficult schedule to to the point of the Giants game, and now it's the easiest schedule of the rest of the season. So, I don't know. It's just health. No Chris Thompson. Yeah. I don't, why would I feel that optimistic?
Reed and Thompson are pretty much...
And we have the highlight of the Crowder 33-yard...
He woke up.
Shout out to Jameson Crowder.
He decided to play
touchdown as well. Game. On the same drive, he definitely came alive this game, which you missed him desperately. He needed to come back.
Well, he had to because Vernon Davis wasn't really doing anything. In this receiving
unit, yes.
But it's the Giants, so like I don't know how to feel about that. No offense.
Well, there's a strength in the Giants. I mean, if there's a strength, it's their secondary. So. Yeah.
And you know what was crazy? This was his first, this was a 33-yard catch, but his touchdown that he gets on this drive, his first touchdown of the season.
Well, I'm going to be curious to see how we play against you guys next week because... Yeah. I mean, I would say you're a tier above the Giants, but like teams have been beating y'all down.
Oh yeah.
So I'm curious to see
absolutely.
I'm curious to see how we'll perform against you guys.
And if Jameson Crowder is going to be able to get this open and make plays like this, our secondary is extremely weak. Yeah. So that will be exposed. Absolutely. Like that. Yeah. Come on. That looks like a play that the Redskins will probably run to a T.
We'll see. There's no intimidation factor for you guys when it comes to us.
Well, Crowder's he's their best weapon now.
Now.
You know, Reed's gone. Chris Thompson's gone. Crowder, he was one of their best weapons to begin with, and he's had a disappointing season.
That's kind of his thing when...
Dobson's not playing. What's up with Dobson, man?
No, he's all right. He's just up or down. This is his rookie year.
He's getting there.
Essentially. He's had some great plays.
So Crowder had the most catches on the game with 7, and then no receiver on either team had more than 3.
I read that stat, too.
Okay. Checking out the stats. And then we also have, although the Giants lost, we do have the Janoris Jenkins pick because he's sick, and this is what I think at least 2-3 games in a row that this dude has had an interception.
I mean, he was on fire last year. Last year, he was incredible. This year, he's been a little inconsistent. I think he got beat in this game as well. But, yeah, it's nice to see
that
defense.
And that made a tie 10-10 kind of lucky. In the third. The running back did drop it. It kept the game alive. Oh, yeah. That's very true.
It's quite a bit lucky.
We out.
But he was in the right place.
But I can't even tell you how many Cowboys defensive backs have
dropped
that or just not even... been that close to the ball to make an interception. Like, that's sure that I guess it wasn't the most complicated athletic play, but you got to be happy that he made that. Like, that's something
he would have gotten the tackle there.
When you mess that up, that's when it hurts. And it hurts all the time in the Cowboys secondary.
That is a running back that we picked up this week, the week before the game. And so that tells you our injury history.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was Marshall off of the Eagles practice squad, no?
And then Piran got hurt in the middle of the game, too.
Eagles don't have no use for him. This was a 53-yard return off the pick, and this was more yards than the Giants' offense generated in the entire second half.
Come on, Jenna.
Just wanted to lay that out there. It's interesting.
Throw it in my face. Listen.
But sadly, now Jenkins has the possibility to be out the rest of the season. Not that the rest of the season is that crucial for you. But for the seasons to come, though,
I got to check the contracts. I don't know who signed for what, which is bad. I've completely neglected this season, to be honest with you. I'm at a point now where it's like I just want this season to be over for the Giants and then blow up the whole coaching staff, get rid of the GM. Eli's obviously gone at this point. It's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
All right. Well, I guess we'll leave that at that.
Yeah.
McAdoo has to assume he still has he can still earn his job in the next 3 weeks.
He can't.
Like, I know he can't, but... What does a human do when they face that? Do you throw it away or try?
He doesn't want his job.
He legitimately thinks that Geno Smith gives him a better chance to win the Davis West.
I think he doesn't want his job. He put Geno in. There's no. He's obviously not thinking about next
year. He's helping Geno. He likes Geno Smith as a person. He's trying to get him.
He's just a little delusional. He truly thinks that he's making the right calls here. I don't know.
All right.
Or maybe whatever warped like tear you down leadership he seems to have. Maybe Geno Smith actually falls in line with it and Eli Manning doesn't. And he's like, you know what? I have control of this team. I'm going to have to explain in a job interview in the offseason what happened this week. Like, why would I keep Eli? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Maybe the answer is I did everything I could. Eli wasn't doing it. I benched Eli Manning. That's how good a decision maker I am. Did you win? No. But
I did it.
And again, not to lay into the Giants offense, but to lay it in a little bit. They only had 7 total first downs on the game and only 1 in the second half, which is pretty crazy. But again, lackluster game, 3-3 until 6 minutes left in the third. So that was the lovely Thanksgiving game for the Giants Redskins. You're Cowboys, welcome. Not much better. Not probably much worse. Easier to watch.
Probably man. Worse.
Actually, yeah. That was the appetizer for the night game. And
some of us started Dak Prescott, so we couldn't enjoy this game. We couldn't enjoy this game.
Jenna, I actually have a question for you. How much do you blame Jason Garrett?
No, Josh, I don't like talking about that stuff on the show.
Let it out.
This is what I mentioned to D'Angelo earlier. I said, when the Cowboys are good and playing great, it's enough to distract me from the organization of the Cowboys. But when they're playing poorly, it makes me realize this is the ownership, this is the coaching, and we're not going to get better, and we're not going to have great seasons unless something in the higher up ranks changes.
You heard it from Jenna. Fire,
no,
Jason.
No,
I think Jenna says fire Jason.
No, I didn't say that. But this is, I'm like, there I go. I just lost my chance of ever working.
She might be talking about
Jerry
Jones.
Are you saying fire Jerry Jones? Jenna says fire Jerry Jones.
She's starting to kickstart it right now. To buy the team out from under Jerry Jones. $2 billion. It's all it'll take, guys.
I think the other 31 owners of the NFL have already started that train for me.
They all follow his
Jerry
train.
Jerry has done so much for the NFL in this organization. Look, I'm giving the Miss America answer now. But at the same time, what have we done in the past, like, 15 plus years with this
just
ownership?
Just been very mediocre.
Been extremely mediocre. Yeah. Even that stellar season last year, he drafted Dak pretty much on accident. Like, didn't even want to draft the quarterback that came in and stepped up for Tony Romo and led us to the playoffs his rookie year and a 13-3 record. So, I mean, I don't know. I've never been a GM or an owner of an NFL team, but I feel like I don't think much is going to change until the front office gets a little bit of a blow up. I don't know. I think that's too much to say.
Your MoveOn.org petition has 10,000 signatures already.
Good.
Could be a blessing in disguise, though, for a couple. Like, Dak Prescott, hopefully, you know, if they decide to keep him next year, like, progressing, because, you know, it is a slow process to learn how to go through progressions, but now he knows what he needs to do, his next step, and maybe hopefully there's a development there. And then also, it's time to move on from Dez. He's not getting separation like he used
to. I'm starting to agree as well. I've been saying that all year. I still was thinking that he had an important role on the receiving unit and the offense. Like, he still made big clutch plays, but he's been who we've been missing the most and who I've almost been the most disappointed in. Because where's his fire, too, his energy? What's so passionate about Dez, what we love so much, is he finds a way to show up every game, no matter how bad the team is. I feel like I honestly don't see him. Like, it's like he's not even on the team right
now. I think he'll be a top five receiver elsewhere. Like,
well,
and that's
our
just
entire
upsetting.
Receiving
like,
unit.
That's upsetting.
Like, Terrence Williams, probably on any other team, I don't know if he's deserving of a number two wide receiver. He's probably a three or four on any other good receiving unit, you know? So everybody's just kind of like mediocre, but for some reason we looked amazing last year. Everybody has to be on their A game and working together, and then Dak can spread the ball. But on Dak, I think he has a very big incentive going forward to shush up all of this criticism he's now getting, because he's not, I mean, the last two games have been a little bit on him. He's very much underperformed, but I don't know if he's deserving of all of this flack.
Okay.
I don't know. What do you guys think? How do you think?
I don't think it's him. I think he, because he lost a lot of teammates in the middle of the season, finally started performing like a sophomore quarterback.
Yeah.
And we really can't blame him for that. Because he had been overperforming. Because we're all forgetting it's his second year as a quarterback at all. He wasn't supposed to start last year. Like, he's head and shoulders above where anyone should have ever expected him to be. Mm-hmm. And God forbid he look human and humble. In the face of just insanity.
Well, I mean, he does have four interceptions in the past two games.
He's made
or
some bad
five,
decisions.
I'm sorry, five interceptions in the past two games where he only had four on the entire season last year. But last year, I mean, it's hard to say that because we were such a well-oiled machine on offense.
I'll tell you
offensive
what,
line
he should not
perfect.
Have got Offensive Rookie of the Year. It should have been Zeke. Like, there's no reason now looking at it. What the heck?
Because well, hindsight's 2020.
Because if Dak
wasn't
there.
Okay, but you can't, I mean, go back on last season and his accomplishments then. Like, this is what he's getting right now.
Think
everybody's turning the page very quickly, and he's very much falling into the sacrificial Cowboys quarterback,
yeah.
Tony Romo, crucifying but if you get the credit, narrative.
you gotta get the criticism as well.
Oh yeah, he deserves criticism, but yeah. He's definitely not the problem. Yeah. If you're gonna list problems for the Cowboys right now, Dak Prescott's not one of them. I mean, he's one of them.
He's top three. Absolutely.
He's just had a couple rough games. I mean, honest, I'm not worried about Dak at all. I like Dak a lot. He's smart. He moves well. He throws. He's fine.
I do like Dak, but he's got some work to do.
But like, if on week one he was sloppy, right, and it was a team holding him up, I would feel this way.
Right.
That was not the case. He was great, and the team around him was great.
Yes.
He lost those elements, so now it's just him trying to be great without anyone else boosting him up, and probably a toxic situation, as you said.
Mm-hmm. But my problem is that when Dak was at his peak, they were given these stats that were comparable to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I guess my criticism is to those people. If Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady was in this situation, I don't think
it'd be.
You know what I mean? So like, okay, level your expectations.
We would not have lost those three games in that fashion.
Okay.
Now, let's reevaluate who he is as an individual quarterback.
I still think he's a franchise quarterback. I think he's a very good quarterback.
I think that too.
Just a rough patch. That's how I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, we'll see.
At this point, I feel like the way that they performed against the Falcons honestly foreshadowed the way that the rest of the season was going to go. And what I was telling before we came to the studio was I'm shocked that people are surprised by the way that we're losing. This is honestly what I expected. I feel like it's a trend. Once we start to lose, we lose hard and everything falls apart. Like, it's not that our defense was amazing coming into the season, but they were holding up.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've allowed 72 points in second halves of games.
Ugh,
we've been outscored 72-6 in the second half of the game. Pass rush is pretty much lost at this point.
Sean Lee going down hurts.
Sean Lee,
so much.
Our secondary is extremely weak, and then our offense is not doing anything to compensate. No balance in the attack, giving up on the run. We only rush for 97 yards, 72. All over the place with all these numbers. Only 179 yards receiving. Keenan Allen on the Chargers had 172 yards himself. So he basically had the amount of the entire Cowboys receiving team just himself on Sunday. They had 436 receiving yards to our 170.
The Chargers aren't used to this. They're not used to blowing teams out.
They're not used
to close games.
Like, this is, we have the Keenan Allen touchdown.
He's a beast.
I would say, look at all these tackles he's breaking. They're not even tackles being made.
Yeah. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's Giant-esque effort there.
We seriously just fell into.
Coached by McAdoo level. Effort
there.
Here's the thing. The Cowboys are missing their best playmaker on defense. They're missing the best playmaker on offense. And you're still missing that lineman, right? Your left tackle?
Yeah.
No, he was in.
Oh,
he was in.
He got worked, too. He got worked
and
a couple times.
We showed
that's
it
a
earlier.
Great D-line, though. It's a great Chargers D-line.
Tyron Smith, the left tackle who we're missing greatly, was in, all pro, and he had a holding call that brought back
what
would have been the first touchdown of the game and the second touchdown of the entire game.
It was a Dak rushing touchdown.
Yeah. Huge holding.
I won't use him as an example, but Sean Lee basically holds your defense up.
But is that okay, though? Is that okay? No, I know he's a linebacker.
I think it's Zeke. Zeke, the offense is based on him. And they dominate time of possession, and that keeps the defense off the field. There's so many things that come with Zeke performing well for the Cowboys' game plan, and it's just exposing everything else that was either average or below average.
Got it.
That's how I feel now.
Mentally as well.
Yeah.
I think that losing Zeke makes them lose their identity
right.
in their eyes.
Right.
I think in their brains they kind of feel like that.
Right.
Like they're almost putting their hands up as, who are we without Zeke? Yeah. I feel like Dak's feeling like that. He's missing his go-to guy that's also his best friend.
I'm going to play devil's advocate about this one last time because I did this last week, but we're full strength now. How would the Cowboys look had Zeke just served his suspensions week 1 through week 6?
That's a good question.
Hindsight is 2020.
Yeah. I don't know how to answer that.
I don't think they would have had an identity for crisis. They would have either sucked for 6 weeks and got better.
Yeah.
Or they would have found a way to win without him.
I think so.
And then he would have come on and just been icing on the cake.
Yeah.
It
ultimately looks very selfish of Zeke to fight the suspension that he ultimately served.
Well, I think he thought he could beat it. I thought he generally thought that he was not going to be able to serve that suspension. Why else would you fight it?
Yeah.
I don't think he quite sees the pulse of the tide turning.
Yeah.
Toward all of this, that it's like you're not beating that suspension. I mean, if the NFL wants to suspend you, they're going to suspend you.
What I actually heard a stat on the Cowboys, one quick stat. Their point differential in the first half, they're seventh in the league, seventh best. And then from the second half, on, they are 30th in the league.
Oof.
Which is a huge just shock. Showing. Like,
we're gonna hit her back with the stats.
halftime adjustments being made.
Way to go.
I think at first I was very big. Wow, the defense, you know, they're doing their part.
Yeah.
They're holding them on first half. But now the more I'm watching and thinking, I just think the teams that we've played have had a rough start in the first half.
Yeah.
Or,
like, the defense has done well enough. We did hold after the Eagles got two picks on us, and we held them when they were, like, within the 20. So they have done well. But yeah. I think that Phillip Rivers, like, Matt Ryan, they were just having a slow start in those games. And then...
Yeah.
Or Jason Garrett doesn't make halftime adjustments. Hashtag fire Jason Garrett.
Well, I did see... No, he said that to the media in a press conference. Yeah. He said, oh, well, our fundamentals are not changing. Well, basically, to paraphrase, he said, we'll just tweak a few things going forward. But tweak a few things. Like, look at how miserably we're losing. I think we absolutely need to restructure, like, everything. Not just like, oh, yeah. Like, oh, we'll just, you know, everything that we're doing is going to remain the same. We'll just, like, adjust a few things here and there.
Coaches are stubborn, man.
Yeah.
Also, that could just be, like, being trained for the reporters. Yeah. We do only have a few minutes left, though, sadly.
I can handle this.
Do we want to talk about
this out, knock this out in one sentence so we can go to everything
else.
Let's
give Steve, like, 1 minute, because then I wanted to play a game, but I don't think we want to have time.
Okay, let's go.
All right, we talk a lot about championship-caliber teams and how they win when they're supposed to win. We were supposed to beat the Chicago Bears. They were a trap team. People were a little concerned going in because it was a game we were supposed to win. What did we do? We won. And part of how we did that, and I think a lot of people were comparing this to a college football game, is that there are so many college football teams that sometimes there's just incredible mismatches. That the team that's better sometimes isn't even playing that great that day, so much as they come up 3 scores in the first quarter, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys are busy doing this. We have a whole bunch of celebration stuff
going on. Like,
we
saw Nick Foles. Let's see this celebration.
My only thing about the Eagles
is that you guys have a tremendously easy schedule, in my opinion. And I just want to see
more.
I want to see, this is why I'm not sold on you guys when the playoff time comes. What's going to happen in a deep NFC playoffs when they play the Seahawks team or the Falcons in the first round?
They're playing the Seahawks next week.
Oh, you might get a bye.
Yeah,
well, you'll get them the next round, probably.
We're not going to be in the first round. What are you talking about?
No, you're
right.
The
Eagles, it's like, though, they're beating teams they're supposed to beat in the way they're supposed to beat them. So to me, it's like they're for real. If they were 11-1, whatever they are, they're 11-1, right, Steve?
10-1.
If they were 10-1 and beating these teams like 17-14, you know, 21-19 with a last-second field goal, then I'd be a little concerned, because that's what the Giants were last year. This year, the Eagles are, like, they're not only, like, beating these teams, they are kicking the living crap out of them. And I think that's what really good teams do.
But it's a bad team.
But yes, you're beating the crap out of a bad team,
but how are you going to compete against a good team?
No, I get that. And they might lose this week in Seattle, but just because they lose in Seattle doesn't mean I don't think they're the best team.
Because they
did
lose to a very good Chiefs team.
When they were good.
At that time,
yes, I'm saying to a good Chiefs team.
And that's the only team I feel like, Dave, I'm trying to review the schedule and remember if there's anyone else. I can't count that Cowboy game. I mean, not counting us. Who else have you played?
Honestly,
Chargers
aren't
a joke. The Panthers aren't a joke.
The Redskins had a good game against
them. The Broncos aren't a joke.
The Panthers are 7-3, 8-3. And you killed them in Carolina.
Destroyed them.
Yes.
But the Panthers were pretty down at that point in the season.
I'm never big on the Panthers. Yeah. They're very inconsistent.
We're talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They have to win 2 games in a deep NFC playoffs. I'm not sold.
That's why we let this happen.
I know. That's why I've been a skeptic all year.
Yeah. We're talking about the regular season. You're talking about the postseason.
You're the best team in the regular season, but you're not going to win the Super Bowl.
That's why we let Philly feel this and be on their pedestal and then get demolished.
Don't get your hopes up.
I think the Saints can beat them, and I think the Vikings can beat them, but they have to control the clock. And the Seahawks and the Falcons and the Panthers for that matter.
If they make it to the playoffs, yes.
I don't see why the Seahawks are missing Sherman.
Everything is predicated on Carson Wentz.
The Seahawks are missing Sherman and
everything is predicated on Carson Wentz.
And a bunch of front linebackers to protect him, and a three-headed monster in the backfield. Like, it's not just Carson Wentz.
Yes, agreed.
I'm with you, Steve. We'll discuss in the playoffs, but I'm not sold.
If Case Keenum can play the way he's playing right now, I give the Vikings a fighting chance. It's that when the Eagles have home field advantage, that's what it does. That kind of, like, seals it.
Mm.
That's what it, if they had to play the Saints in New Orleans, then I might
That'd
be picking
be extremely
the Saints.
Different.
But I don't know.
At the link we'll with this fan base too, coming hard every Sunday. I mean, it doesn't look like the Eagles are going to stop anytime soon.
Also, someone in the chat asked me my official prediction for the end of the season. They're 10-1 with.
God, it's so gross. Seattle beat them next week.
10-1 with 5 games left. I think we're going to make it to 11 wins, clinch a playoff spot, and that's all that matters.
13-3.
Probably 13-3.
Are you fearful of resting the starters and seeing how that's going to affect the postseason, given that you're going to clinch the NFC East?
Well, yes. We'll likely clinch the NFC East before kickoff with the Seahawks Sunday.
But if you do what the Cowboys did last year and they kind of took it easy on the starters the last game or two.
No, I think we're gonna see Wentz on the 10th in Los Angeles. At least I hope so, because I have a ticket, though. And I think Giants, Raiders, Cowboys, those last 3 weeks, I don't think he's going to see a full 4 quarters. I think they're going to bench starters by halftime.
Okay. Question, because I know we have to wrap, but really quick. Yes. What do you think about Jay Ajayi? How do you want to work him in more, or are you fine with like this three-headed monster?
I'm perfect. I think this three-headed monster is perfect.
Okay.
I think it's like to get and to bring someone like that in the middle of the season, this is what you have to do.
Okay. If anything, he might almost be the weakest monster on that. Head on that monster. He had that fumble.
He did. He's the best running back out of the group. They're just having to incorporate
him. Oh, you think?
Him.
Yeah, and then did you see when he had the 71-yard touchdown against us, against the Cowboys, and Byron Jones came back and pulled him down because he ran out, and then all his teammates on the sideline were giving him a hard time. They're like, you're slow as shit, man. Running back, what's that? I'm like, yes, welcome. That is so funny. Loved it. We didn't get to a lot of stuff, but it's okay. So
what's this game? Do we have time for this game?
I know. We got to wrap now. It was going to be, so let's stay tuned for next time. Hot or not takes. It's going to be the takes around the NFL, and then we say if these takes are worthy of talking about or if these are stupid headlines. But let's try and play that again next week.
Okay.
That was the recaps of our Thanksgiving week, week 12 in the NFL for the NFC East. We will be back every Tuesday of the NFL season at 6 p.m. Pacific time, so make sure you tune in. Let's go around the table. Steve?
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. You can also go to thesoberyear.com. It's a vlog I do.
And I'm D'Angelo. You can hit me up on Twitter at D'AngeloTV or on Instagram at D'Angelo.
Josh Rodriguez, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Also follow my fantasy football podcast, Flex on Fantrax, at Flex on Fantrax. Eli.
Oh, much love. It's a sad thing.
Love you, baby.
We can give respect.
I love you.
It was fun to joke about, but it's like a Tony Romo thing, but we definitely don't have enough time for all that. My name is Jenna Bussier. You can find me on Twitter at Jenna_Bussier. And thank you guys for tuning in and watching.
Adios.
Fly.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Herein are those of the hosts only, do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.